Amen. Just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. And I am glad we've got a foundation to stand on. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the songs we sing. I'm glad the songs we sing have meaning. They're not just for entertainment and pastime. They have a real meaning to them, and they have an emphasis. As a matter of fact, they're doctrinal. Amen. And we need that. We definitely need that in this day. I preached, you know, just the other day about how that doctrine is being dumbed down in a lot of places, and it's leaving people, I believe, leaving them at the, what's the word I'm looking at? At the mercy of the wolves. The wolves are going to come. The wolves, Paul said they're going to come. I believe they have come, and they're all around us, wolves prowling and howling and trying to do damage to us. And so we need to be founded on some good, solid doctrine that we'll know where we stand. Amen. And I'm glad we can. Proverbs chapter number 3. And we studied through the book of Proverbs a little bit recently. I think this is the 12th message. And we took a few messages, went from chapter 1 to through 4 real quickly. I want to just, let me back up and just say this about it. I'm not going to rehearse because I know you don't have the time for all that. But just to say to you that the book of Proverbs is not listed as, like we do a lot of writing that would be, you know, sequential from here to there to the next point to the next point. The book of Proverbs has a lot of little short sayings just scattered throughout in different ways. But having said that, and I said I don't understand exactly why other than that's what God wanted. And he knew what he's doing when he put it together. Amen. He knew what he was doing when he put it and made it that way. And you say, well, preacher, I don't understand it, so how can I get the blessing out of it? Well, you don't understand your wife. But you can thank God he made her. Amen. You wives don't understand your husband. Well, I didn't get no amens on that. I expected a good hearty round of amen. I figured somebody grab a flag and take off around the building. You don't understand them, but you're glad God made them. Amen. And I don't understand all why God laid a lot of things out. I don't understand why God let some things happen the way he does. But I'm glad he's still in control. I can trust him. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. But having said that about the not sequential, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are more in that frame. It looks like they're lectures one after another from chapter 1 through chapter 9. Primarily lectures from Solomon to his son. A father to the son as he's trying to instill some wisdom, some knowledge in his son. And by the way, we have got to get back to training our children. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Don't just let them grow up. Amen. Train them. Amen. Put them on a course. Amen. Get them headed in a direction. The preacher said that in his prayer yesterday at the wedding about how he talked about the bow and arrow. Arrows in the hands of a mighty man. He said, we've had these children. Now we're getting ready to send them, turn them loose. And so we need to send them in a direction in which they ought to go. And so we need some training of our children. So Solomon's trying to do that with his son. And as we went through those first 4 chapters a few weeks ago, I went back and started looking back at these a little bit to just glean some things that I'd left out, to be honest with you. And I could stay in it perpetually. I mean, there's so much in this book that we could learn and would help us. But I felt like, and last week I started a sermon from chapter 2, and I mentioned to you that chapters 2, 3, and 4 all deal with the path of wisdom. That word path is prominent, or the word path or paths, word way, pathway, ways. Those words are prominent in chapters 2, 3, and 4, and I dealt with that particularly in chapter 2 of last week. And try to show you some things from that. Today I'm going to look at chapter number 3. I mentioned to you that chapter 2 tells us that wisdom protects our path. Chapter number 3 tells us that wisdom directs our path. And chapter number 4 tells us that wisdom perfects our path. And so I talked about the protection last week. I want to look at the direction this week if I can from chapter number 3. Look at verses 5 and 6. And those will be our takeoff verses. Then we'll go back and look at it verse by verse. Verse number 5 and verse number 6. Trust in the Lord. By the way, these are familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, there's our word, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. There's our word again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Joshua Shepherd, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, I want to thank you again for this day. Lord, thank you for the good service that we had.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, thank you for the song service here this evening as well. Lord, thank you that we're able to
be here. Yes.
Lord, thank you that we have your word. And Lord, I pray you help that as a preacher.
Help us, Lord.
Help us to glean some things from the word of God to be a help to us in our lives.
Yes. Yes, so many needs, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you would show yourself here with us this evening, in your word and preaching of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So we've got the word ways, the word path, and the word direct. So we're looking at direction and how that wisdom directs our path. Amen. And so I'm glad that God instructs us on the pathway in which we are to walk. You know what a path is? A path is, we'll call it a trail that is made, for example, a trail through the woods, a trail through the grass. It is a cleared off section. It's not all grown over, right? A path is a section that's been cleared out. I'm glad the Lord has cleared out a way that we are to walk, that will help us, that we might bring him glory and honor, and that would help us in our life as well. One of the blessings of the Proverbs is that they're not just spiritual blessings that they involve, but there's physical blessings. They're just practical things that we can learn, we can glean, and we can enjoy as we listen to the Lord and learn to walk in his path. Amen. And so these three chapters deal with that, and I want to deal with chapter 3 tonight, Lord willing. Maybe next week, or not next week, because we're not having Sunday night service. Sometime we'll deal with that chapter number 4, and then we'll begin to move on, hopefully, in our study. But using that overall outline that we began preaching last week, as I said, about how that this protects our path and now directs our path, and then we'll eventually perfect our path in chapter number 4. We'll see that more as we go along. I'd like to return to that tonight and deal with the pathway that God directs us upon. Amen. Our original text, as I said, is so familiar that often we read through it and we just think about how that God's saying, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust me. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Trust me. Call on me. Seek me and learn from me and that sort of thing. But we don't recognize what he's showing us is that God has a plan that he wants us walking on. Amen. He has a plan. Let me just a couple of easy things. Why do you think God blessed like he did? Or why did God use Brother Hall here in those 27 practical years that he preached here? Why did he bring him from Arizona to here? Why did he do that? Because he had a plan. Had a plan for this church. He had a plan for Brother Hall's life. Why did he bring me all the way from North Carolina? Me and my wife. Why did he bring us all this way from North Carolina and put us here? Because he's got a plan. He's got a path. Amen. It's not just, we'll just wander around and see what happens and ask God to bless whichever way we go. No, we need to find out the path God wants us walking upon. And so I want to look specifically about this, our ways that he said in verse number 6. And then proceed to see how it talks about submitting to God's wisdom that he might direct our paths. Amen. Now, surely that's what we want. Just like when you get ready to leave from here tonight, more than likely, you'll turn your headlights on. And more than likely, you'll stay in your lane. Unless your wife's driving. Since you women didn't jump in here and help me when I said that earlier, I'm going to lay it on. Amen. No, but you know why? You know why you turn your lights on? You want to see where you're going. You want to be safe. You know why you stay in your lane? One, it's the law. You don't want to go to jail. You want to go home. But number 2, because it's safe. You want to be safe. And you've got a direction you're going to turn. Amen. You've got a specific way that you plan on going. You know why? Because you've got some directions. You need directions in your life. And God's got the directions. As a matter of fact, this King James Bible is our roadmap. Amen. This King James Bible is our atlas. This King James Bible is our guidebook. Amen. That directs our path. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. And it gives us the direction that we need to go. So allow me, if you will, to look at chapter number 3, and probably won't be real long tonight, looking at this thought about wisdom directs your path. There's a few things I want us to notice. First of all, I want you to notice that this is the disciplined path. It is the disciplined path. Verses 1 through 12 deal with that in particular. The disciplined path. The path that the Father wishes that the Son would walk upon is not a haphazard path. It is a beaten path. He's not to go willy-nilly. Amen. He's not to wander around and just go here or there. There is a strategically designed, mapped out plan and path that is found in the Word of God. Amen. What is God's will for your life? God's will is that people be saved. He said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Very evident, it's not God's will that the drunkards in jail go to hell. He wants them to be saved by the grace of God. It's not God's will that people out here get drunk and wind up living that lifestyle. Amen. God's will is that we come to know him as our Lord. There's a strategically directed path, and it's found in the Word of God, and we see it in these scriptures in particular. This is the pathway that is one that shows us God's will for our life. Amen. I believe there's 4 points that we can notice under this point of the disciplined path, and that is, first of all, I want you to notice that there is to be a seeking of God's truth. Those that follow this path will find themselves seeking God's truth. Look at verses 1 through 4. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Amen. And so he's telling us if we're going to walk God's way, we're going to have to know what his way is. The way we know what his way is that we search the scriptures. Amen. We've got to find out which way is God's way, which would also show us which way is not God's way. All the Bible's not do's and don'ts, but you'll never know what to do unless you know what to don't. Amen. You'll never get it down pat what thou shalt until you get it down pat what thou shalt not. These little children, before they ever learn how to plug in a vacuum cleaner, they got to learn not to plug things into that outlet that mom and daddy don't want plugged into that outlet. They got to learn what no is, probably before they'll ever learn what yes is. Amen. In the right context, that's the way it is in our life. That's why the Bible, people say, well, that book's so negative. The reason the negatives are there is because we need those negatives to know what the positive is. Amen. We really do. In order to stand on the promises of God, we've got to know what his precepts are. Amen. You'll never be able to stand on the promises until you know what the precepts are. So notice verse number 1, the Father tells the Son not to forget. Underline that word, not to forget the law of the Father. It indicates that the Son has heard the commands. The Father says, just remember what I've taught you. Well, that'd be helpful to us, wouldn't it? Just remember what God has taught us. When you get in a situation, more than likely you don't need new light and new understanding to face that situation. Most of the time, you've already got the light if you'll just walk in it. Most of the time, we already have the right, we know what we're to do. We have the right understanding. We know what we would do if we don't, we just don't forget it. We just don't turn away from it if we'll just keep our mind on the things that God has taught us and the things that he's shown us. Amen. And so he says the Son, it looks to me like that the Son has heard the commandments and he knows the ways that he's to walk. But we got to keep on in that right direction, keep focused on that principle, because if we're not careful, listen, young people particularly are easily distracted. Amen. Easily distracted. Therefore, they need to keep that mind, keep that focus. That's what he said. Forget not. That means focus on my word. Seek the word of God. Seek the will of God. Amen. God's will is revealed in God's word. Amen. A lot of times people say, preacher, I'm just looking for the will of God. Read your Bible. Be faithful to read your Bible. Pray. Stay in church. Be faithful. Amen. God's will is not something just out there ethereal. God's will, there is a spiritual will of God, but you'll come to know that by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And it'll help us by studying the word of God. And so we need to lay God's word up in our heart that we might not sin against God. Amen. We need to, he said, let thy heart keep my commandments. Amen. You see that? Verse number one, let thine heart keep my commandments. So lay those words up in our heart that they might find root there and that we might grow and walk in the ways of God. Amen. We'll find out that God directs our path in wisdom. We'll learn that when we allow God to write His commandments on the tables of our heart. Amen. It's not just that we see it, it's that we receive it. Amen. We take it in. Amen. We take it in. It's just like your mama can fix a good nutritious meal, but you won't get a bit of nourishment unless you partake of it. You can sit there and look at it. You can smell of it. You can play with it. But until you eat it, digest it, you'll never get the nutrients that you need. Amen. That's what we need from the Word of God. We've got to get in there and study the Word of God. So we need to read the Bible, but just reading the Bible really is not enough. We've got to obey the Word of God. That goes to the next point. Not only searching God's truth, but serving God trustingly. In these next four verses, verses 5-8. Serving God trustingly. Look what he said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Well, there's a verse most teenagers need to learn.
Amen.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Amen. He's saying that'll even help you physically. Amen. Amen. And so trusting or serving God trustingly. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for total commitment. That's what he's looking for. I actually thought about that in the wedding yesterday. And I think about it a lot of times in a wedding. Brother Caleb and Miss Anna made those vows. Brother Caleb didn't say, I promise to stay faithful to you at least 90% of the time. She just said, no deal. Amen. She didn't promise him that she'd be faithful to him 75% of the time. No, he said forsaking all others. I'm talking about total commitment. That's what God wants out of us. He wants total commitment. Amen. He wants us to serve him totally, and that would mean serving him trustingly, that we trust him, that he knows the path we're to take. Lord, you know the way I take. That's what Job said. He knows the way I take, and when it tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. God knows what he's doing by setting the path that way. So we ought to obey God willingly, and we ought to serve God trustingly. Amen. That's the way that wisdom will lead us, and wisdom will direct our path. Amen. Our trust of God must not be partial, but it must be with all thine heart. You see that in verse number 5 as well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not partial. Total trust of God. Amen. So we see that just like the Son is warned not to forget the Father's commandments, we are warned not to lean on our own understanding. Verse number 6, in all thy way, no, still verse number 5, that last phrase, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. So if you're trusting God, he's saying, keep doing that. Don't forget his commandments, but also don't forget that you're trusting him. Don't start trying to work it out yourself. Don't come up with your own plan. Amen. Don't say, well, God had plan A, but here, I'm going to try plan B. This is my plan B. No, you're going to have a mistake if you make that kind of a plan. Amen. I'll say more about that, but we got to be careful not to lean to our own understanding because, listen to me, just like I said, there's a tendency, and I said particularly young people, and I'm not fussing at young people for that. The fact that one of the reasons why young people are distracted so easily is because they're like a sponge soaking up information. Amen. Older folks, we don't soak up that information as quickly. I say we don't. I'm talking about all of us old folks now, 50 and older. I'm kidding. But it ain't as easy to soak up information when you're older. Young people are soaking it up. And so there's that tendency that they could get distracted very easily. But there's also a tendency to quit going the way God wants, especially when we turn a bend and we think, well, I wonder what would happen if I went straight. Or we start up a hill, well, I wonder what happened if instead of climbing this steep climb, if I just go around a little bit, maybe it'd be easier. And we get all kinds of ideas. If we're not careful, we'll start leaning to our own understanding. We've got to be careful to guard ourselves from following our own premonitions, our own feelings, or our own plans. Amen. We're supposed to walk the path of God. We're not walking in our will or our thoughts or our dreams. We're walking in His will. Amen. Now, let me say this. That does not mean that Christians are to turn off their brains. That's not what it means. Doesn't mean you're to ignore your intelligence or common sense. Amen. But it does mean that we're challenged not to depend on our own wisdom, but to follow Him. Keep our eyes focused on Him and keep our heart bending towards Him. Amen. Be careful that we don't depend on our own wisdom, don't depend on our own experience, and don't depend on the wisdom or experience of others, but we trust Him. Amen. Now, I'll say this. I alluded to it a minute ago. I really believe we've got Bible example of people that did this. Men in the Bible that made the mistake. I'm talking about great men in the Bible. They started off walking with God, but made a mistake of leaning to their own understanding. And it caused trouble. I'm going to give you an example. Abraham, God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave everything behind and come follow me. And he did. Until a famine came up in Canaan. You remember that? A famine came up. What's Abraham going to do? I mean, how's God going to feed him if the supermarket closes down? How's God going to feed him if the truckers are on strike and they can't get no food in? So you know what he did? He used his own understanding, went down into Egypt. And he got in trouble in Egypt, by the way. He got right with God, came back and made things right. Amen. I'll give you another illustration. When Joshua and Brother Steve used this in Sunday school the other day, when Joshua and those children of Israel went up against Jericho, they asked God. God gave them a plan. It didn't seem to make sense to men, just marching around the city, not saying a word, but God let the walls fall. But the next was a little town, Ai. Just a little town. We don't need to ask God about this. We got this. That was a mistake. It was a mistake. Leaning to their own understanding, they went down there, and some men lost their lives because of leaning to their own understanding. So I'll say, I believe there's multiple others that we could talk about, but these both occasions resulted in trouble for those that lean to their own understanding, and it'll result in trouble to you and me if we do it too. Look at verse number 7. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. I said, we'd do well to remember that verse. Every one of us would do well to make that verse in our memory, make it just a saying in our memory. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Amen. I'm afraid that's a mistake that we too often fall into. We think we know better. Well, I know Grandma said this, but Grandma don't know. She probably knows more than you think she does. Amen. Well, I know that's what the preacher said, but the preacher don't know. Well, he may not know everything, but you'd be surprised that God might give him some wisdom to help you. Amen. And I could just go through a lot of things. If we're not careful, we think we know better, but in truth, we don't know better than God. God knows best. Amen. And we can't go without God's direction for our path. We'll learn by trouble if we try to run down our own path instead of following God. Amen. So there's the seeking God's truth. There's the serving God trustingly. And then see, there's the sharing God's treasures. Look at verses 9 and 10. This is interesting to me. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You say, I knew it. You can't preach a sermon about preaching on giving. That's right here in the Bible. Solomon's telling his son, now there's a path you need to walk. And listen, here's what he's saying. It will help you if you let God direct you. And when God directs you, God will cause you to give. That's just plainly what he's saying. Amen. God will cause you to give. Right in the midst of all these instructions, the Father reminds His Son to give to God faithfully. Amen. You might ask, what does giving have anything to do with me being directed by God on my path? Well, here's God's Word. I said earlier, God's Word wants to get our heart. You know where our heart is? It's where our treasure is. That's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If God can get control of our finances, God get control of our budget, God get control of our wallet, our billfold. If God gets control of that, He's got control of everything. Amen. At least He should have. It should be that He has control of everything. And that's what He's telling the Son, the Father's telling the Son there, that you ought to make sure that God has your heart. And that will be a giving heart. That'll be a generous heart. Amen. Amen. And so this teaching about giving is couched in the concept that the Lord is the one you're honoring with your substance. Notice that in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, the money you make, the strength God gives you to allow you to go to work. By the way, I'm for men working. I'm for that. I think men need to work. If a man won't work and provide for his family, the Bible said he's worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. Amen. Men need to work. Whether or not they have bills. Amen. Amen. Whether or not that looks like the world's coming to an end, that's God gave that emphasis. Men need to be working. Amen. He said, if a man won't work, let him not eat. That's the Bible now. God's for working. But all that strength God gives you and allows you to work is not just so you can make money and spend it lavishly on yourself or whatever you want. God's got a purpose. He wants you to notice that plan's not just for your feet. That plan's for your wallet, your finances. Amen. He wants you to honor Him with all thy substance. Amen. He said, with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I believe we could honestly say that's all thy substance and all the first fruits of all thine increase. And if you'll do that, He said, then your barns... Verse number 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Amen. This is not a get rich quick scheme. This is not a health or wealth, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it kind of preaching. This is a believe in the Bible. This is biblical. That if we'll obey God, God will honor our finances. He will rebuke the devourer He talked about. Amen. I told Joshua the other day, I said, I'm thinking about preaching a sermon on tithing. And I'm going to use a thing from the rally the other day. Some people call it a riot, some people call it a rally. I'm going to use the slogan, stop the steal. God said, will a man rob God? Stop the steal, amen. Give to God, amen. That's what the Father is saying to the Son in this case, amen. Well, so the idea here is that God wants us to realize everything belongs to God. Not just our Sunday, but our Mondays as well. Our Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day belongs to God. Amen. And we ought to be given to Him. God does not just want our feet on His path. He wants our eyes on His path. Amen. He wants our head on that path. Our heart on that path. In other words, He said, I want you all in on this thing of following God, and that will ultimately lead to God blessing us. Amen. And then there's number D, there's the submitting to God's teachings in verses 11 and 12. And I won't spend as much time on these latter ones. I'm taking time on these first 12. I'll speed up a little bit on these latter ones, hopefully. Verse number 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Boy, I mean, you think, preacher, you preach on giving and you go straight from that to whipping. I thought you was going to encourage us. This is encouraging. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as the Father the Son in whom He delighteth. Amen. If there was any teaching more difficult than to teach on finances, is to teach on discipline, chastening of God. Can I tell you that all of God's ways do lead to pleasantness, but not all of His paths are pleasant. They all lead to it. Hebrews talks about the chastening for the time, and he uses these verses, by the way, but the chastening for the present time may not be joyous. But if we'll allow it to work in us and produce the godliness that God's looking for, in the end, it will be joyous. Amen. And so the idea, it's not that God wishes to whip us, but our incorrect behavior requires Him to correct us. Amen. That's the phrase that he's talking about here, the correction of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. Verse number 12. Verse number 11 ended, neither be weary with His correction. So when we veer off the path, by the way, I'm glad God don't let us wander way out into the woods. You just take a step off the path and God's going to say, no, son, come back this way. There's going to be a tug on us. Amen. Now, if you just keep rebelling, you may keep going further and further, and it may get stronger and stronger. Amen. Maybe the still small voice, it may, one day you may feel like he's howling, he's hollering down your path, trying to say, where art thou? Like he did to Adam. But God's correction is for our good. Amen. It's for our good. God's direction includes chastening when we go astray. Amen. In this case, think about this. This is a father talking to his son. He doesn't want to have to be a judge that deals with criminals. He wants to be a father that can deal with a son. God does not want to be a judge having to deal with sinners. He wants to be a father that can deal with sons. Amen. God never wants to harm us, never wants to hurt us, but ultimately wants to help us. The chastening, that's what it's for. Amen. So I talked about the disciplined path. Then number two, there's the delightful path from verse 13 down through verse number 35. And so that will speed it up. I've just one point to cover all these last verses, but I do have some sub-points in there. And so I've got 49 sub-points. I'm kidding. Amen. But this idea about following God, there is the disciplined path and there is the delightful path. Once we learn to submit to God on a day-by-day basis, we learn to submit to God every day, not just Sunday, I mentioned that, but every day. We're going to seek God every day. We're going to seek God in every way. We're going to ask God to direct us in everything. Once we learn to do that, we will learn that God has placed us on a truly delightful path. Amen. All of a sudden, we begin to see the blessings of God that surround us and brighten our day. Amen. You've seen that as well. I've seen people that didn't have much as far as worldly goods. I can think of a number of people that didn't have a lot of worldly goods. I can think of people that didn't have good health. They're laid on a bed of affliction. They're not even able to feed themselves. Somebody else has to do everything for them. But you know what? When the sun comes up, they say, look at there how good God is to me. When a bird sings, they say, listen to that, how good God is to me. Amen. When somebody comes by and says a kind word to them, they just soak that in as God sending an angel right to their bedside to encourage them and to help them. Amen. You know what they realize once they've submitted to God? Lord, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. I've got to trust you. And once we will learn to trust Him, we'll realize, my, how God has blessed me abundantly. Amen. Marvelously, He has blessed us. He's placed us on a truly delightful path. Amen. We began to learn some things about God. First of all, we learned that true wealth comes from God. Look at verses 13 through 18. Let me read you those. Verse 13 through 18. True wealth comes from God. Happy is the man. That word could be translated blessed, you know. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. He said there's some things better than money. There's some things better than silver or gold. And he said true wisdom is one of those things. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies. and all the things that thou canst desire are not compared unto her. He's talking about wisdom. He's personified it as a woman. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. I read that verse a few months ago, and I thought about this, and I thought God would give me a sermon on it, but he hasn't yet. But when you look at that verse, look at it again. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. You know what God's saying? God said, I've got two hands full of blessings for you. I've got so many blessings that it's not just one hand of blessings. I'm blessing you with both hands. Boy, isn't our God good? Amen. A double-fisted blessing, you might say. Amen. And God gives us two handfuls of blessing. Verse number 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So he's talking about that we realize that true wisdom comes from God, or true wealth comes from God. You've heard it said a number of times, and I know you know it, that true wealth is not necessarily monetary in nature. True wealth is not necessarily monetary in nature. Not how much money you have. It's not necessarily material in nature. It's not how many things you have. Amen. Amen. Some people, I read this quote, and I don't remember who said it. I do. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, some people know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Well, that's right. Some people know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Amen. Some people that do that, they wind up wasting their life making unwise choices. They end up with less than valuable things. Amen. I could give you a number of examples. Let me just think about this. If this example, I wrote it down this way. Since we just had the wedding yesterday, Brother Bell's youngest daughter got married. If you would think about marriage, if you value your marriage, you will be more apt to be careful about your marriage. You'll be apt to guard your marriage. Amen. If you guard your marriage, you will enjoy the blessings of a happy marriage. Whereas if you don't value your marriage, you'll be more likely to have lax standards. You'll be more likely not to enjoy the blessings of a good marriage. Amen. Can I say there's a big difference in living and just getting by? Money can help you get by, but money can't really help you live. Amen. I'll give you one more story and I'll move on to my next point. I think I've probably told this before. I read a book years ago. My mother-in-law had it. It's a book about John Wesley. It's really about his mother, Susanna Wesley. And their last name was Westley with a T. Westley was their name originally. And Samuel Wesley was married to Susanna Wesley. Samuel took the T out because of persecution, and they would be a different group of people, they thought. But anyway, long story short, Samuel Wesley was a preacher. He was a nonconformist. He wouldn't bow to the dictates of the religious authorities. And he was trying to preach the Bible rather than their prayer book and their rules and regulations. And because of that, he had enemies against him. And in the situation, even people in his church rose up against him. They cut his salary. They tried to starve him out. You know what he did? He just planted some crops in a field nearby. You know what they did? They set his field on fire, burned his crops. And when that didn't cause him to leave, they set his house on fire with his children in there. Now I think Susanna Wesley had 21 children. They didn't all live, but a good number of them did. Some of the songs we sing come from John and Charles Wesley, by the way. And that's from her influence. But in that situation, the house was on fire. They're awakened in the night that the house is on fire. And some people say that it was an accident. Others that it was intentionally set. I don't know. But the house was on fire. They got to get out. They start trying to get out. They realize that some of the children are in an upstairs bedroom and they can't get out. Samuel starts to go back in, and some men, they're there, they're trying to get a bucket brigade, try to get the fire put out. These are in the olden days, of course, before fire trucks and all that kind of stuff. And they, Samuel starts to go back in. Somebody grabs him and says, no, you cannot go back in. And they literally held him that he could not run in after his children. Susanna Wesley passed out, fainted from fear. Long story short, a man noticed the kids up there and got, and I don't remember which one it was, John or Charles, one of them climbed up on a chest and jumped out the window, and this man caught him and saved his life. And they said that, but before all that happened, when they held Samuel, wouldn't let him into the house because it's burning down, Samuel fell on his knees when Susanna fainted. They thought she had died. He fell beside of her and started praying to God for mercy, just begging God for mercy. And that's when one of the men saw the child and got him to jump out the window, and they saved him. And so they got Savannah alert. They got the preacher, told him, your family's all right. And they huddled them all together, and they said, let's start a bucket brigade and save what we can. And Samuel said, let her burn. He said, I'm rich enough tonight because God spared my family. Amen. I can't think of that without God stirring my heart. It's not the house. It's not the money. It's not the cars. It's not the 401k that is the blessings of God. Amen. A lot of times it's our family that God has given us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to recognize God has blessed us. Amen. Value the things that God values. True wealth comes from God. Amen. Secondly, we notice in this that the world comes from God. Verses 19 and 20. I had to think about this to see how it fit. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down dew. So, we're talking about wisdom comes from God. Here we learn that the world comes from God. Everything that's in the world, God made it. Amen. We that believe the Bible, study the Bible, we believe that even though the Bible is not a science book, we believe that the Bible has something to teach the scientist. Amen. They say, we're trying to figure out how this all got here. Well, read the first few pages of your Bible. It'll tell you how it all got here. Amen. And you can know, by the way, that's what science means. It is knowledge. It's what you know. It's not theory. Theory is not science. Theory is science falsely so called. Amen. Theory is science making a guess. Really. All theories are not bad. But when you just base everything on a theory, you can be building on sinking sand. Amen. And so, what science is what we know. What do we know? We know somebody made this thing. We know that. It just makes, see, everybody knows somebody had to make this thing. Amen. And so we believe God made it. We can, that song, This Is My Father's World, we can sing that and believe it. Amen. This is my Father's world. God made the whole thing. Amen. God made the heavens. God made the earth. God made everything that's in it. Amen. Amen. The scientist calls things the laws of nature. Well, we know who made the laws of nature. Amen. It's nature's God. Amen. Actually, the laws of nature are actually the providence of God, and God working in our world. And so if we understand that God made everything and that God keeps it running according to his will, that will help us in allowing God to direct our path. If God knows what time the sun should come up in the morning, and it comes up when he says it should, then we can trust him to direct our path. And if God knows what time the sun should set over the horizon, and it sets when he knows it should, we can trust God to direct our path. Not just from start, but to finish. We can trust God to direct our path. Amen. If God can direct the stars, the comets, and the meteorites through the vastness of space, then surely God can direct our path through these 70 or so years that he's allotted in our life. Walking the path of wisdom not only helps us understand wealth, but it helps us understand the world, and it helps us to trust God. Look at the third thing here. Verse number 21 through 26 talks about the Word of God. The Word of God is our guard. Look at what he says in verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. What's the them? It goes back to verse 1, the law. and the commandments. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So the word of God is our guard. This goes back to protecting our path, like we talked about in chapter number 2. Let me just simply say this. God's a good father. He not only directs his children, he protects his children. Amen. He protects his children. His word protects us from evil. Amen. Amen. So the father warned the son in verse number 1 not to forget the law and not to let his heart wander from his commandments. God's telling us, keep them and you'll be guarded. Keep them in front of your eyes and you'll be guarded. Amen. I say it this way. God is not obligated to protect those that wander off his path. You get out of the will of God, and God's not obligated to protect you like he would if you was in the will of God. Now, thank God, God's a merciful God. More times than not, he does protect us, even when we're out of his will. Amen. You remember the story of Jonah? Jonah's that backslid preacher that had the great revival against his own will. I don't know. Somebody ought to formulate a plan. Maybe the best way to have revival is to hope that there ain't one. That's how Jonah had the greatest revival maybe ever happened. He didn't want there to be one. You know I'm being facetious. But Jonah's, he's out of the will of God. God says, go to Nineveh and preach against that wicked city. Well, Jonah knows he is glad to curse that wicked city. He is glad to curse. He hated those people. He's glad to do that. But he knew if he went, there might be mercy. And he didn't even want them to have a chance of mercy. So he chose to go a different route. Not the path of God. He pays the fare, finds a ship going down to Tarshish. You know all that. Going down. And he pays the fare thereof. And I'm going to tell you, when you go away from God, you're going down. And you will pay the fare thereof. But he not only goes down the ship going down to Tarshish, he goes down into the lower part of the ship and falls asleep. Now who let him sleep? God's mercy let Jonah sleep. God's judgment should have kept him awake, should have made him scared for his life. Amen. But God in mercy let him sleep. They came down there and woke him up and said, we're in a storm, you better call on God. He said, I can't call on God, I'm out of God's will. Of course I'm paraphrasing. They said, what should we do? He said, throw me overboard. Can you believe that? And they don't want to, but they did. They threw him overboard, and he not only went, that ship going down to Tarshish, he went down in the lower part of the ship, but he went down into the whale's belly. But it was God's mercy. He did not drown. God could have let him drown in his own disobedience. But in God's mercy, God had a fish there swallow him whole. Amen. Brother Ricky, you'd have had a heart attack saying, there's the big one. I finally caught the big one. Grabbed a hold of his tonsil and swung down. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I hope this will throw me back. Amen. Catch and release. Amen. Hope this one believes in catch and release. Anyway. But I'm saying, even God's not obligated to protect us when we're out of God's will. And yet he usually does. But somewhere along the line, out of God's will, our troubles, our sins are going to catch up to us. And we're going to pay the fare. But if we'll walk in God's will, you know what will happen? We'll find the protection of God. There'll be an umbrella of protection over us. The mercy of God, the goodness of God upon us. Amen. So I believe if we'll search the scriptures, we'll seek to live by them. We'll find out that they'll give life to our soul. Will really live. Amen. There'll be an ornament of grace to thy neck, he talks about here. Amen. There'll be something that'll be beautiful, that'll be helpful, and that'll be a blessing. And that ornament of grace, it's like they hang the gold medal on the Olympic, whatever, you know, the Olympic athlete that wins. The thing they hang that on their neck. That's an ornament of some accomplishment. God's going to give us an ornament of grace. Amen. If we'll just obey him. Here's my last one. There's our witness is for God. Look at verses 27 through 35. Our witness is for God. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. That's practical. Pay your bills when you can. Amen. Don't hold off. Verse 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Amen. Don't put it off. Pay your bills. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So he's talking about our witness. Notice this. Godly wisdom teaches us to be generous. We talked about that before, generous towards God, but generous towards our neighbor. Generous and kind towards our neighbor. I believe this. I believe Christianity makes people good neighbors. Amen. Christianity makes people good neighbors. They pay their bills. They don't steal from their neighbors. They're kind to others. Amen. You can see that from verse 27 down through verse 30. Primarily he's dealing with those people being good neighbors. But from verse 31, he starts talking about living right in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Look at it in verse number 31. He starts talking about the oppressor, and he talks about don't choose his way, the froward man in verse 32, the curse of the Lord in the house of the wicked, verse 33. Scorners, he's talking about in verse 34. And fools, he's talking about in verse 35. So he said, and by the way, notice that he's talking about, as he deals with this, envy thou not the oppressor. So you're not the oppressor, but he said don't envy him. You're there, but don't go his way. You see that? All right, verse number 32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. So there's one crowd that's froward, that's perverse. There's another crowd that's righteous. And so the idea that I've got there is that he's saying, we're in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. God's got us here, and this is the path that he wants us to walk today. But while we're here, he wants us to be a witness in this world. We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom, Paul said, ye shine as lights. You know what the dark world needs? They need somebody to turn a light on. Amen. Not just to complain about the darkness. Amen. They need somebody to turn a light on and shine in this dark world. So first, we're told not to envy them. We're told not to choose their ways. Choose none of his ways. If we're not careful, we'll get envious of the wicked. The psalmist talked about that. Notice verse number 34. Verse number 33. I wrote it down, verse 34. Verse 33 shows us that we can have a godly home even in the midst of a wicked world. Here's what he said. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. That is an ungodly home. Got a curse on it. Verse number 33, the latter part. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. That's a godly home. Has the blessing of God on it. Amen. Your house can have the curse of God on it, or your house can have the blessing of God on it. Amen. We can have the blessing of God on our home if we will just walk the path that God wants us to walk. If we will allow God to direct our path, we can have a godly home. I realize these are hard days. I realize that public schools are teaching kids weird and wicked things. Amen. That's one reason I don't even like to call them public schools, because the public don't have much say-so in them anymore. They're government schools. Amen. And I realize in our society it's sad. You're nervous. Your kids get on social media. Who knows what's going to happen, and who knows, you know, what they're going to do, what they're going to face, what they're going to see, what they're going to hear, what they're going to learn. Amen. There's fears. But if we'll walk and allow God to direct our path, we can have a godly home even in the midst of this ungodly world. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13, the first part. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. We're not part of this dirt. We don't need to live like dirt. We're salt. We're a whole different element. We have a purity that preserves. God help us to do that. Amen. But he said in verse number 14 through 16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it on under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Even though we're in a wicked world, God has left us here to be salt and to be light. Salt is preservative. Light is instructive. Light shows you the way to go. Light shows you where the dangers are. Amen. We're to be salt and we're to be light. We're to be preservative and we're to be instructive in this world. And I believe one godly home in a neighborhood can help the whole neighborhood. Can be a light on a hill that can help the whole neighborhood. I believe it can even help our nation in the midst of times like these. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. We'll have a word of prayer and then you can look forward and we can sing. I want to ask you, will you allow God's word to direct your path? Will you allow God's word to be hidden in your heart? To take root in your heart that it might direct your path? And if you will, you will find yourself on a delightful path. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that's taught us and the teaching tonight. Lord, I pray help us that we might receive it and not forget it. We're so forgetful, Lord. I pray you'd remind us. Lord, help us to be careful not to start leaning to our own understanding. Help us to be careful not to think that we're wiser than we actually are. Lord, help us to realize we need your direction. We need your light to light our path. And we need to follow you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that, bring you glory. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen our homes. I pray you'd strengthen our lives. Lord, make us good, solid citizens. And then, Lord, that you'd rescue our nation. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd do these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing as we sing if the Lord spoke to you. You call on the Lord.